Good to thank God for the goodness of His Word and praises in song. Paul is saying about that wonderful offering that we give to God. He accepts our heart and the brokenness that might be there, but He meets us. So meet Him throughout this service and especially at communion time. A little boy was enjoying the remaining days of his summertime. And if you can remember back on those days where you had just many carefree days as a little one, hopefully. He rode his bicycle throughout the summer, played baseball, horsed around with his friends, wasn't inhibited by the clock at all, just had a great time. But in a few days, all that would come to an end because he was headed for the big time, the first grade. And this made him a little bit anxious. So he talked to Mom and Dad. He said, "Mom and Dad, I hear there's a lot of hard things about the first grade, a lot of hard tests. You go there and they make you do things. They make you do a lot of work. You get homework. You work all day, then you get homework when you come home. Mom and Dad, you don't even have to do that most of the time. There's bullies there. There's bad friends who will lead you the wrong way. Can't I just stay home where I'm safe and strong with you?" And his mom and dad were very sympathetic to the young boy. But they said, his dad pointed his finger out the door and said, "No, go, because being safe is not in a place, but it is in the presence of God that will be with you. When you go, He will be where you go." And you might not be going to first grade and have butterflies about that, but you might be facing another kind of test that you can't see. Maybe it's a test in health, a test in relationship, or a test in your own soul, how you're doing with God. That's the biggest test of all. And to know that God would be with you where you go. Jesus said, "In this world you will have trouble." How true. No one's ever argued with Jesus about that verse of Scripture. "In this world you will have trouble." But He said, "Take heart, I have overcome the world." So whatever you and I face in the upcoming week or months, we could take heart that Jesus would overcome that for us. He'll be there for us, and He'll be our rest and our fortress that we could rely on. One of the things we did earlier in the week, I wanted to mention this earlier, was to make a switch for the communion Sunday being the second Sunday as opposed to the first because of our youth Sunday last week. And when I was six or seven in church, and they didn't have junior church at the time and such, Dad would give me something to write on, and so he'd get, make use if you need to, if you're a parent and the little one needs to do some writing on the pew envelopes or however you just encourage them in that way, just invites you to do that. The Lord invites us also that we would find Him as a rest and a fortress in life's storms. And the parents try to do a good job with that with their soon-to-be first grader. How can you find God as a rest and a fortress on a regular basis? Is there anything we could do as a measure of discipline in our lives that we could seek Him to be a rest and a fortress? Just some real important but basic things for us to think about this morning. First, I was reminded that years ago, an assistant superintendent of our district came and talked to a bunch of pastors. Now, he was being helpful and partly responsible for how things are going in 150, 60 churches. So he would come and talk to pastors once every year or two just to give us a pep talk. So I look forward to that, and I'm thinking, what is he going to talk about? Something to help church be better. Something to help us be better pastors. When he came, he talked with great simplicity and conviction about daily devotions. Meeting with God one-on-one. Just us and God in a quiet time. Because he says that's something we all slip up on pretty readily. And when we slip in that area, we get weak in our one-on-one time with God. Other areas of our life start to get weak. And we start to go in the wrong direction. So he spoke on getting alone with God. And I encourage you to find God as your rest and fortress by getting alone with Him. Do that on a regular basis. That's what King David did. And King David was a king of a whole nation. He was a lot busier than you and I ever are. He had a lot of responsibilities. But he got together with God one-on-one. And he found God there as a rest and a fortress. And being a king and a soldier, David knew the importance of fortresses. He knew if you had a good fortress and the enemy would come against you, you're going to win the battle. And you'll stand strong with a strong fortress. And of all the fortresses David ever found, he didn't say, well, it was Jerusalem, that was the best one, or his own shield and things like that. He said this, he said, God alone is my fortress and rest. And God would be that for us also. Get alone with God to meet him as your fortress. What would David do when he would meet with God? Well, he would pray and he would write scripture that we get to experience. And those two simple means of meeting the Lord have served to be a true opportunity to meet the Lord for thousands of years, for 5,000 years or more. Faithful, it was faithful to Abraham. He met one-on-one with the Lord. He got alone with God. That worked for Moses also. One-on-one with God. King David and Jesus and Paul and you and I can meet the same Lord and find him as our strength in that way. He's our refuge and strength. And the best time to get alone with God one-on-one is as you face whatever you're facing on any particular day. In the morning, I would ask you to consider that. Even though your schedule might be pretty hectic, you could always get up 15 minutes, half hour earlier to have that time alone with God. Myself, I'm not I don't bounce out of bed with a lot of pep in my step and carry on wonderful conversations right off the bat in the morning. Until I get a shower or eat my breakfast, I hardly communicate with anybody in my household. And they wait till I'm done, and then I'm human again. I get civilized. But after I take a shower and eat my breakfast, I do take time with God, one-on-one. And early in my Christian life, that was such a delight. And as time goes on, it becomes more and more something I look forward to. A time of knowing God's strength. He's there to talk, and I'm there to listen through His Word and also talk to Him. What a beautiful thing. Years ago, my family and I had a chance to see one of the presidential candidates fly into the Erie Airport near to where we lived. And so we made a big deal about it. It was in the afternoon. My wife and I went. We got the kids out of school. Off we go to the Erie Airport. Plane flies in. Pretty impressive. Man gets off the plane with a bunch of other important-looking people. We stood in a huge crowd, probably 10,000 people. We were as near to the president as from here to probably Barnes Lake Road. Looking out there. Is that him? I'm inspired. How about you, dear? Yes, we're inspired. It was a life-changing day. You got to hear him and, you know, see all the excitement. And you think, I got to be a better citizen after this man comes to see all of us and all that. But better than meeting any, believe me, better than meeting any presidential candidate, you get to meet the King of Kings each day. Not from here to Barnes Lake Road, but right where you sit or right where you kneel at home. And pour out your soul to Him and meet Him. To get alone with God, you'll find Him as a rest and a strength. And we need that more and more in this troubled world. Some warnings for those who would neglect or let slide getting alone with God. First of all, I've taken two kind of vacations in my life. One has been a vacation. We go do things as a family. And sometimes I say, we're going to be really busy on vacation. I pray a lot when I'm a pastor. I'm not going to have devotions on vacation. I'll talk to God on the run because we're going to be on the run. So I go and I have that kind of vacation. Second kind of vacation I have, we'll be busy, we'll go do a lot of things, but I'm going to take time to pray, meet with God, look into His Word. Which kind of vacation do you think provides more rest and refreshment for my soul? For my soul. It's when I do take time to meet with God. And He just brightens the day more so than it would be. But if we neglect that time, a warning from Leonard Ravenhill, a man who preached and wrote on New Life for Believers. He said this: neglect prayer and you neglect God. You know, to neglect somebody is a great insult and an act of love to them, or act of unlove if you neglect a loved one or a child. But to neglect God, how much we lose when we do that. Neglect prayer and you neglect God. And God would invite us to meet Him. The second warning comes from a teacher from Wheaton College. He writes this about having God as our rest and strength, getting along with Him. He says, we must have God and have Him deeply, or we will turn to other gods and they will destroy us. Is your soul being destroyed by something in your life? It's not the Lord who would destroy your soul. But to neglect God and getting alone with Him, we will turn to other gods. Those other gods will give us great sadness and destroy our soul. And many times a Christian will say, well, whether I meet with God one-on-one or not, that's my business. That's between me and the Lord. Dallas Willard has written about that. He said, really, as believers, there's very little that we do that is just between me and the Lord. Because everything you and I do that's just between me and the Lord really affects everybody around us. So much, eternally so. Our worship service today and our communion service really is impacted by whether you and I have met with God and God alone with Him on a regular basis. You know, we bring that into the sanctuary. And the condition of our soul helps us embrace and rejoice in the Lord, or say, wow, I'll tell you, I get reacquainted with a stranger, you know, that I've hardly met with this week. But God would be our rest and our strength. We'd get alone with Him. He invites us to do so. David knew that. He said in so many words, I find rest in God alone. And because he was a king, it would benefit the whole nation. The whole nation. Second way to find rest with the Lord and have Him as our fortress is a little harder. It's to get together with some friends. Get some friends together and you'll meet God among them. You think of the Bible, early in the Bible, Adam, what happened to him? He had a perfect one-on-one relationship with God, the first man. Unbroken fellowship, no sin involved. He was in paradise. Paradise. How'd you like to be in paradise with the Lord? And he and the Lord are enjoying paradise. The Lord gave him all kind of animals to name. He had pets, you know, all over the place. If you have a pet, that's part of the blessing of what was in paradise. So there's Adam and God and all the pets. And what does God say to Adam? It is not good for you to be alone. It's not good for you to be alone. And that applied to God would bring Eve to Adam, be a friend, eventually be your wife. But I think it applies also to any believer in Christ. It is not good for the Christian to be alone. Even if you feel like you have a really close relationship with God, you're not where God wants you unless you're connected with other people. So you could be a blessing to them. And they'd be a blessing to you. Psalm 133 says this about getting together with others. It says, brother to brother, sister to sister, when they're united, it's like oil poured upon Aaron's head running down his beard. Now, in the Old Testament, when they wanted to picture a very close time with God, they pictured it with something called an anointing. That God's anointing was on a person. I mean, they sensed God all the time and they were in good friendship with God. The Bible says that happens when people who trust Christ get together. Their strength, and it's like a great refreshment to their soul. It's a fortress, it's a rest. And it comes in an ever-increasing way. And we as believers, to ask God to make that available to us, take the initiative to get together with friends and to rejoice in Christ with them. Loving people is God's way of relating to others. If I sometimes I'm good at this. If I go to my office and say, I want to have a close time with the Lord, study the Bible, I even go to my closet in the office. And you say, I got to find Bob. Where is he? Bob, where are you? I'm in this closet in here. What are you doing in there? I'm being close to God. What else are you doing? I'm being a very loving person in here. You would be surprised what a loving person I am in this closet. It is great. I mean, it's just terrific. You would say, well, come on out, because we need that. Love from Christ is really not love until it's expressed toward other people. It's easy to appear loving on a desert island with nobody around but you. But that love can be the rubber that meets the road when you connect with others. That's when love grows. And surprisingly, it becomes a rest and a refreshment for your own soul. I read a story about a gal named Mary in a book called Safe People. How to be around safe people and how to be a safe person. Mary, who had a problem with fatigue syndrome. Sometimes that's a virus. Sometimes that's a result of so much emotional difficulty happening in a person's life. Mary, because of her past hurts and relationships, was out of emotional energy to connect with others. She began to slowly be in Christian groups, friend to friend, person to person, Sunday school class, small group in a home or something like that. She began to have help and more energy in her fatigue syndrome. Even though it was hard, she's still physically tired, but that gave her energy because it was a rest and a refuge for her soul to be with others. Don't you feel that way when you're around close friends and family? They give you a boost, and we need that. The body is joined together, the Bible says, joint to joint, all connected to Christ. And so Lord would have us to know Him as a rest and a fortress, meet with other believers. If I was new to Norwin Alliance Church, I would go to a Sunday school class, and I'd say, get to know people there. Or I would go to a small group, home Bible study. Because there I would find God as a fortress and a rest. And then the last thing you and I could do, get with God during life's storms. They do come. We need a fortress bigger than ourselves. If storms don't come each week, they certainly come each day to any soul. Jesus said storms would come to a house built on sand and a house built on a rock. Whether you're close with God or not, the storms come. On Christians in Millville, a literal storm came. On atheists in Millville, a literal storm came. But God would say, find me. Find me there. I'll be there. I remember being at a district meeting this past spring, and there was a heated debate going on, somewhat heated among preachers. You can imagine getting 300 preachers together. The convictions flow in the hot air, and it just fervency. Sometimes I have to be careful. So I'm in the meeting, and I'm enjoying the activity, and my blood pressure is rising. And I see a little baby. I told this story to the Wednesday night group a while back. I see a little baby in a stroller, and the little baby's looking up at its parents, smiling, picture of contentment and joy. And I'm looking at that baby, and I'm looking at my own soul, and I'm thinking, I feel like the Lord's telling me, why don't you look at me like that little one's looking at mom and dad? And to just say, the Lord is good, right where we're at, and to find joy in Him. Corrie Ten Boom said this, if you look at the world, you'll be distressed. And I think we are to look at the world, to go to the world with the gospel. If you look at the world, you'll be distressed. You'll see the trouble. If you look within, you'll be depressed. If I just look at my own limitations, we'll be depressed. But she said, if you look at Christ, you'll be at rest. Is your soul at rest this morning with all the trouble around and perhaps bigger storms within? To look to Christ, to be at rest. Psalm 116 said, "Be at rest once more, O my soul. The Lord has been good to you." Find Him in the storm, in the fellowship. Get alone one-on-one. During vacation Bible school, we're telling the adult class, the Lord can lead you beside still waters and restore your soul and even green pastures. And one man who's such a godly man and really active with his faith, he raised his hand and he said, I want that just 5 minutes a week. How just an honest confession about I need that fortress and rest of Christ. And sometimes we miss it because of our own short-sightedness, but it'd be available for us this morning. This morning in your own soul, if you've never asked Christ to be your Savior, He invites you, come to Him, you'll find rest for your soul. It's a delight to share with you that Jesus is a wonderful Lord and friend for your life, if you would want Him to be so. Just say, Jesus, be my Lord. He can bring some good changes, life, constant changes from the inside out. And as believers, be committed to Him as your fortress and rest. There's no safety outside of Him. None. But He will meet us where we're at. Can we prepare together to meet Him at His supper? Let's pray together. Lord, in our soul and in our lifestyle, we get restless. And sometimes that's your way of getting our attention and saying, find your soul rest in me so you could be strong in your actions. We would like that this week. We pray, Father, for folks around us who we care about who need your help physically. For Rhoda Cooper and Dale Matthews coming out of surgery this week. For George Kemp as he travels to receive treatment for to combat cancer. Lord, be their fortress. Be their help and healer. For families of minors who need your comfort, be a fortress, Lord. For soldiers who need protection, be their rest. For those hit by the flood in our area, stand with them in this time of difficulty. And Lord, for any one of us, we sang at the beginning of church, burdens are lifted at Calvary. Burdens are lifted by Jesus. We just quietly give you what is most heavy to us in our soul. A problem, a fear, maybe just our own sin. It always gets in the way of following you. We put our burdens at your feet, Jesus, and know you'll take them away. Hear our silent prayers asking you to carry these burdens. Meet us, Lord, as we return and rest in you at this communion time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.